on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about dog behavior on the show today and exploring the ins and outs of your dog's nose. George Malera will be with us to talk about that. It's always fun to have him come by. And before we get to him, I want to talk a bit about our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. And our goal is to keep bringing you topics like today's topic, your dog's behavior and your dog's nose. Your support makes that happen because listener support is certainly the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jennifer Dargan joins me. She is Deputy Director now of the Educational Communications Board. Jennifer, welcome. How are we doing on the drive so far?
Great. We're doing really good. We're off to start. Good. Larry, we have a dollar. We have our dollar for dollar. So it's all far. And this four is up to $1,000. $4,000. It's a match from generous match, including current members, Baldwin, a member in Wisconsin match. It means dollar you get every dollar you give.
So $4,000 as a challenge grant, that is wonderful. And for all those who donated that $4,000, it's kind of their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So this is a great time to double your support for the programs that you love. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. Certainly state, federal, business sponsors are very important. But there's another source that's very important as well. The largest piece of funding for WPR programs comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work around here. And when you give, you keep quality independent programs like this one on the air. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You know, maybe one of your first childhood memories was hearing WPR on your parents' radio. That was mine, actually. That's where I first heard WPR. Since then, you've become hooked. You can get enough of the news, the in-depth conversation, the music, the great entertainment. And now that you've all grown up, it's your turn to become a member like your parents. Help pay for the hours of high-quality program you've enjoyed day in and day out, year after year. Join our WPR family. Support the radio that's been part of your life since you can remember. So start with a gift of $10 a month or $120 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
You can go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Larry Mueller here. And Jennifer Dark, we were having some technical problems with Jennifer's phone line. So Jill Nadeau, who wasn't doing anything else, I'm pretty sure.
Nah. just hanging around, Larry.
She decided to come and help because she wants you to know that your support today of public radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and maybe your contribution is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Absolutely. You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to our world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've got that dollar for dollar match, and it's still in effect, of course. And we have, I can't see my board right now, but how much do we have to go there, Larry?
I would say about $3,990.
Excellent.
So we got $10.
No problem. No problem. We can do that. And all we need is you to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far. What a deal.
What a deal. If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. Easy to set up. You can make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And sometimes we hear from listeners, Jill.
Absolutely. Marta in Madison says, every day I learn timely and interesting things about almost anything and everything. It's true. So thank you. And Ed in McFarland says, I enjoy so many programs. I like to contribute. I like that, Ed.
I do, too. And what about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, well, do it right now. How's that? Let's turn our attention to George Malara. George Malara is a certified professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. We're going to talk with him, about your dog's behavior. I want to explore a little bit about the ins and outs of a dog's nose. How does your dog react to different smells? Are you doing any scent work with your dog? Maybe he comes hunting with you. Give a call, 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. George Malara, welcome.
Hey, Larry, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
It's good to hear your voice. You know,
likewise, my friend.
I tell you what, I was reading a piece on a dog's sense of smell. It's so keen, and you know this already, but I'm going to say it anyway, that they can smell one rotten apple in 2 million barrels. You got 2 million barrels of apples, and there's one somewhere in there, the dog's going to find it.
It is absolutely incredible. It is, you know, I always call them like little X-Men, you know, like they have this superpower, and they, a lot of times their ability to use their nose gets thwarted because we have to finish our walk. And I try to be like the union rep for dogs. And I am always chanting with my sign, let them sniff, let them sniff.
So why is it important for pet owners to understand that their dog's sense of smell and their need to sniff?
Well, let's just talk a little bit about the numbers, because people don't understand how fascinating their sense of smell is. So dogs have 300, average dog has 300 million olfactory receptors to a measly humans, which is 6 million. So, and the area of the dog's brain that actually is dedicated to smell is 40 times greater than ours. So imagine dogs smelling in Technicolor, right?
Wow.
So when they stop to sniff something, they're not just sort of catching a whiff of your neighbor's barbecue next door. They're smelling depth into whatever they're sniffing. And it could be anything. It could be another dog's urine marking. I call that, you know, P-male, right? They're smelling each other's smell on a walk. But it could be virtually anything. And what we might not pick up on is very, very clear to them. And in addition to that, it's a great way to enrich their mind. We only view it as sniffing, and it's like, my dog's sniffing here for a minute and a half now. It's like, yeah, they need to do that. It's so important for them to use their brain and their nose in conjunction with one another to really get them tired. It really helps getting them tired.
That is very, very cool. You mentioned marking. What's the significance of a dog marking its territory?
You know, dogs will mark for different reasons. And, you know, male dogs like to first thing a male dog does when they go outside, they look for something vertical coming out of the ground. And then they decide if it's going to be a lefty or a righty leg. And then they decide, okay, it's going to be a lefty, and they pee. Some dogs try to pee as high up onto the surface as possible. And even some females will put their rear up onto the tree to mark. So marking is a great way for them to establish who's in the neighborhood and who's there. It's almost like meeting people in a chat room where you might not know who they are or what they look like, but you know that they're there and you sort of get to know their personality and stuff. And it's how dogs will just sort of contribute to the community of the dogs in that area and allow them to sniff each other.
And dogs, I imagine, they can recognize the scent of their owners.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of their ability to smell and identify owners, I mean, you think about, you know, breed-specific characteristics, like you have, like, bloodhounds and basset hounds that were designed with short legs, and those big, big floppy ears, as they're walking, will waft the smell up into their nose. But yes, dogs can absolutely sniff out their humans very, very easily.
And, you know, they're always sniffing each other when they greet each other. You know, does scent play a role in the greetings?
Whether a dog is altered or not, so if a male dog is neutered or if a female dog is spayed, a lot of times when dogs are going into adolescence, they have this huge spike of testosterone, which there's a lot of hypothesis as to why that occurs. And it has to do with a lot of physiological development, ligaments, tendons, growth. But the other part is where an older dog will smell an adolescent male and they'll say, oh, your license to be a puppy has been revoked. And they can correct that dog like it's an adult. It's almost like being tried as an adult, where mentally the dog might still be behaving like a puppy. Its physical development is reeking in a smell that causes them to be corrected by other dogs. Smell, and when they greet, is just big on, there's all the glands around the ear and neck. There's other glands in other places on their body that excrete these little oils that allow them to make the decision if they're going to be friends or foe, or if they're going to want to do a little courting dance, if you will. So smell has so much to do with everything.
Well, Susan in Rhinelander has a question. I don't think it may or may not be related to smell. Let's go there and see what's on her mind. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, George. I have a 4.5-year-old intact male golden retriever. He's a hunting dog. He's got this AKC junior hunter, loves to hunt birds. He's a wonderful, wonderful, affectionate dog. But the other day we had friends over with their small children, about 6 and 4. And because of the pandemic, we've had very, very few people over in our house. And we're retired. None of our friends have little kids except for these people that were over the other day. He just was beside himself with excitement. We could not, for the life of us, get him to settle down. We ended up just putting him in the bedroom and closing the door. That's not acceptable to me. I want him to know how to behave. We're expecting our first grandchild in June, and I'm trying to come up with ideas of what I can do to help him get that self-control that he needs. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
So just to be clear, he was being rambunctious and loving, but he was being a bit of a close talker with too much cologne.
That's a very good way to describe it. Yes, he just, like, he couldn't stand still. He was just, look at
right.
These small mailmen. What do I do with them? Oh, my God, I'm going to play with them. So that's kind
So
One thing I will teach people when they have, and, you know, 4.5 is, he's considered an adult dog, but, you know, emotions can sometimes get the best of them when they're excited. You know, we've bred golden retrievers to be a loving breed. And, you know, that when they see somebody vertical with a pulse, they're like, you're my best friend. So we want to make sure that you have to take time to practice everything he knows, his basic obedience and manners, sit, down, stay. But I want you to introduce tug of war in between those games. So what the tug of war does is it creates arousal, right? And I call it synthetic arousal because I'm creating it with tug. But arousal is arousal. So by playing tug in between, you sort of get him a little bit excited, and then you ask him to do something that requires focus. So in his brain, he has to practice ratcheting back and calming down to perform a task that requires focus. And then after you practice that for a little bit, you tug with him again and get him all lathered up and then have him focus again. In these moments when people come over, he'll be much more susceptible to wanting to offer the good behavior and be able to still be excited and tip-tap and, you know, his tap-dancing little feet, but he'll be able to listen a little bit better, and he won't be so overwhelmed because he'll be able to think when he's aroused.
There you go. Good luck, Susan. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Our guest today, George Malera, it's always great to have him come by. And always great to have Jennifer Dargan come by as well. We had a little technical problem earlier. I think we've got that resolved for our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. And remember, the largest source of funding for our programs is from listeners just like you. This drive, your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jennifer, we have that dollar-for-dollar match going. Oh, we're not hearing you. So I tell you what. I will talk about that dollar-for-dollar match. Oh, it's from current members, including a member in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And it's a great thing because your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. And I really hope, and so does Jennifer, that you will take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. When you give, right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Every Member Drive listeners from all over the country, even the world, reach out to support WPR. We've had people from Texas, Alaska, Japan, even Germany, tell us they found something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes WPR what it is. It's a resource that you enjoy and one that people treasure from around the state, around the country, and even around the world. So when you give today, maybe you want to become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, maybe it's $10 or $15 a month, that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card. Your monthly gift continues, of course, but if you ask us to make a change, we certainly will do that. This means that we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, day out, year in, year out. You are still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So it would be great if you could become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A koozie is that foam holder that people put their canned beverages in. Why do you use a koozie when you're enjoying a cold beer or soda?
Honestly, I don't use a koozie to make my beverage cool. I use the koozie to make me look cool.
It's more of a fashion statement for me, as I actually don't like my drinks super cold. Maybe that doesn't make me a good Wisconsinite, but still love a koozie.
Why would you not use a koozie when you're enjoying a cold beer or soda, or even water or anything? Koozies. They're where it's at.
Today only, make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on, and we'll send you a WPR can koozie. Keep your beverage cool, your hands dry, and your WPR pride on full display. Give now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. And your gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. Oh, and we're still having some problems, so let's bring Jill DeDoe in on this.
Hey, Larry. So is it koozie or cozy? Because oh, I think it's cozy.
Oh, well... Your cozy is my koozie, but I'll say cozy. Okay, I'll adopt the cozy.
Okay, you're going to adopt cozy. We're going to get some calls on that one, Larry, I'm sure. And just a reminder, everybody, we have a dollar-for-dollar-for match for up for $4,000 in effect right now. And it's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Baldwin, Wisconsin, have doubled every dollar that you give. So it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$10 a month contribution works out to just, 33 cents a day. I think that's a great value.
It is, absolutely. So, you know, make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll get a lot in return.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your limited edition WPR. What did you say? Is it koozie?
Cozy.
Cozy. Now you got me confused. I can't remember what I called it the first time.
Well, it's not the first time I confused you, Larry.
Well, you know what? I like to call it a can cooler myself.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
It's an orange can cooler, and it's yours with a gift of any amount, by the way, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. So step up right now and do that. And have we got any comments from listeners?
Of course. Sherry in Menominee Falls says, I absolutely love WPR. I listen to both live shows and on demand, and the shows are both informative, interesting, and entertaining. I especially love the Larry Mueller Show. Yay! Thank you, WPR, for all the great shows.
Well, Jill.
Thank you, Sherry.
And Jill, thank you so much.
You bet.
And let's see, we'll figure out if it's koozie or cozy later.
Sounds good. I'm calling it
can cooler from now on. And I'm going to call in to George Malera, who is with us. George, we've got some callers online with questions for you, so I want to go back to the phones. Andrew in La Crosse has a question. Let's go there. Andrew, hi.
Yeah, Andrew. Good day to you all.
Hello.
So a little backstory. We just recently got a little pitiful rescue situation. She's full-bred miniature pincher. She's 4.5 years old. We were told she's already had 4 litters of puppies. We got her in a good home where she will forever be loved. Here's the thing. She's crazy timid around like loud noises, loud actions, everything. Like she immediately stops, has got her full attention. She's worried about her safety and all that business. We're super conscious of all that. Been just spoiling and loving this dog. Well, this dog has come around my wife, you know, alpha female, obviously in the house. It's looking at her. It's going to her. It's listening to her. It's coming to her. I take it for walks every single day. Like if my wife is around, I might as well not even exist because it dang sure not paying me. No, never mind. And so like just looking for any kind of advice that you can give me as far as like how can I proceed with training? Is there anything that my wife can do with me to get it to where this dog will like listen to me essentially or at least acknowledge my existence?
All right. What do you think, George?
So when you know, these dogs come from horrible – thank you for adopting, first and foremost. And one of the things I'll say is that, you know, these dogs come from these really, really horrid situations, and they do have a tendency to bond to one specific person. That's not to say that they can't like and get along and love the rest of the family. And there are things to do with these little traumatized dogs. One of the things that I recommend is to do the naughty stuff that other trainers will tell you not to do, which means, you know, feeding them human food from not from your plate, but, you know, giving them super tasty treats, a little bit of scrambled egg here and there, a little piece of your sandwich bread, all these things to sort of quote unquote spoil them is not really spoiling. It's nurturing a relationship between you and your pup. The other thing I look for in these dogs that are traumatized is naughty behavior. If she feels brave enough to steal a bit of food or jump up on people to greet them, I would never, deliver any sort of consequence when they're showing any type of pro-social behavior. And really, spending time with her is really going to be the big payoff for you in terms of building that bond with her and taking her for those walks. Make sure you bring really yummy treats on your walks. Just time. Time is what you build a relationship on. And it's not different for dogs, but keeping in mind that, like, you know, she came from a very, very traumatic background and, you know, trauma can be really impactful on a dog and it can take them quite some time to get over that. And we don't know, I'm not sure if you know, what type of abuse she endured or if it was just plain old neglect. There are a lot of things that you know, dogs will attach to their female in the household quicker than the male because sometimes it was a male that was abusive. So keeping your heart where it is and slow and steady wins the race, and just be generous with food and build that bond with her.
I think that's great advice. Good luck, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Andrew. Thank you for adopting.
Vicki in Mount Horeb, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. Yes, I also have an adoptee. We've had her about a year. She's about two, we think. Came from a puppy mill situation in Missouri. But she's a delightful dog in all ways. I guess that's how we all start out, and then there's the but. She has this thing about other animals. We have three goats. And she's just frantic. I mean, I can't tell if she really likes them, but she just runs up and down the fence and barks and barks and barks, and you cannot break her focus of that. The same thing will happen. Like, we live near a bike trail, so we walk there a lot. And if we meet other dogs, some dogs she's just fine. Others she reacts just, I don't want to say violently, because if she could meet them, she would be fine. But I want to teach her that you need to walk beside me and act appropriately, and then you can greet the dog. And she has had two basic obedience classes. She's in the house, does absolutely great with, you know, stay and all of the basic obedience commands. She knows leave it, wait. But when she sees other animals, including cats, which we don't have any, but our kids do. So taking her to their houses, she's just on high alert, and she would just take off. So that's sort of the situation. How do I teach her?
And Vicki, can you tell me to the best of your knowledge, what type of dog is she?
She's a Sheltie. As far as we know, she's a, we think, a purebred. She looks like a purebred Sheltie. Very energetic, fun little dog.
Right. Now, if you think about what was the Sheltie bred for?
Herding. Yes.
So it really shouldn't come. It shouldn't come to too much of a surprise that she's chasing the goats up and down the fence. Right. She's sort of saying, like, who authorized this movement? You know, who said you could run around? You know, she's trying to control the little herd. Now, these dogs that come from a herding background, oftentimes movement can be very sensitive to them. So any type of movement, they can sort of be a little bit more, they sort of them wanting to have control of the movement that's happening around them. So when they see another dog, in some cases, they want to herd the dog or control the situation in terms of movement. So one of the things I would do, I love that you're going to be willing to work on polite leash walking, because that's huge. Anytime she is walking nicely next to you, is feeding her treats for being next to you and giving you what are called auto looks. So she'll be bopping along next to you, and then she gives you a little glance up. You're going to just give her treats anytime she looks up at you and reward those moments. This way, she'll spend more time checking in with you and less time scanning the environment. The other thing, I'm not sure if you listened to my answer to the other caller, is playing tug with her or playing some sort of game that creates arousal. When she is chasing the goats, when she's possibly or sees another dog and gets very excited, those moments she's in very high arousal. So what we have to do is, again, we don't want to stop the arousal. We want her to be able to think and perform when she's aroused. So, again, creating that synthetic arousal through tug of war is a huge way to help her sort of regulate herself. Now, you said she's going on 2 years old, and this is also a very, very big landmark emotionally for her. She's entering into adulthood. So she's think about her having her bar mitzvah. She's becoming a woman. And at this age, I even encountered that with my own dog, where at 2 years old, my Dolly, she was sort of like just sort of standoffish with some dogs and challenging other dogs. And I just took a break from a lot of those, like going to dog parks and introducing her to dogs. I let her play with her friends, but I didn't allow her to play with new dogs. And at around the 2.5 year mark, I ventured out to a dog park again, and she was back to normal. And developmentally, that's the mental development of a 2 year old dog, that she might need just a little break from too much stimulation and really put all your eggs in the basket of training and really just, and anything, jump on YouTube and just look up positive reinforcement dog training and teach her a new trick. all of that type of connectivity with training and positive reinforcement training will help you be a better benevolent leader to your pup.
Good luck, Vicki. Thank you so much for calling. Mike in Shorewood, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. We have about a seven-month-old English Shepherd Doodle, which I'd never heard of before, but we rescued him. And he's really a great dog, and I just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. When we have a rat terrier who's a little aggressive, and she gave him a few bad habits when people came in the house, he was kind of barking with her and then kind of nudging people with his snout. So we were told to maybe crate him, put the rat terrier away, crate him, and when people come over, and then when they sit down and he settles down, let him out of the crate. And then he seems to be fine. I just want to make sure he's got a good technique going.
I think that's lovely advice. Something else I would add to that is to put your the English Shepherd Doodle on a leash prior to people coming over, and so that the leash doesn't become the sort of the neon sign of somebody's coming over. You can put the leash on. So let's say I was coming over as your guest, and I would say, let's say I was going to be there at 1 o'clock. From about 11:45 up until 12:55, you practice putting on and taking off the leash. Dogs will learn very quickly that the leash means somebody's coming over, and it can actually increase the arousal. So you want to have that as a rule out so that the leash doesn't mean somebody's coming over. In addition to that, you can also have a Ziploc bag outside your door. And if you think about all the rituals that happen when people come over, it's the doorbell. People come in. We greet them. Hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you in such a long time. And there's this big greeting. And that can really arouse the dog. So I love the advice of having him in the crate. You could even put a frozen Kong or some sort of chewy in the crate with him just as a pacifier, just to help him soothe himself for a little bit. And then, once he settles down, you bring him out on leash and have him greet your guests. And your guests can also have like a little Ziploc bag of treats that they can give him and reward those nice behaviors like having 4 feet on the floor and, you know, or sitting or lying down. And then bring your rat terrier out, who might be the instigator of the issues.
George Malara, our guest today, professional trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Clara Nyport, our producer today, Jill Nadeau, our honor producer, Trina LaSousa, our engineer here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your dog's behavior today with professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison, George Malara. Jill Nadeau back with us for our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network for interesting, informative discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
We certainly do. You know, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match in effect right now, and I'm thinking Molly Stenz tells me we need about 24 more calls to make all that happen. Guess what? It's a great time to donate, because current members, including a member in Baldwin, will double every dollar you give, up to $4,000. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And shows like today, where you're getting so much wonderful information from experts, where else are you going to find that? And I bet you it's enriched your life. And I know we've gotten lots of calls, Larry, of people saying, I listen to your show and fill in the dot. And some of it's like, you saved my life. I mean, not to be dramatic, but it's the truth. So how unique is public radio? Wisconsin Public Radio is amazing, and we are listener supported. So that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So just choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And, you know, you can think about how much money you spend every day on other things, maybe coffee or takeout. It all adds up. I'm sure you know that. I certainly do. And it's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
That's right. I keep spending money on dog treats. Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine, too. It's your news resource, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift, which I $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And if you've already renewed or making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, you could join the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, so don't leave any money on the table. When you give, they double it. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you can keep your beverage cool and your public radio pride on full display with the limited WPR can cooler. What do you
It's we orange. Are a neutral station.
It's orange. Ask for yours. Ask for yours with your gift of any amount right now. Today only while supplies last at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we just need 23 more calls. So if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. And you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love. Like William in Barnes says, I couldn't live without WPR. And Don in Madison says, I've been a listener since School of the Air in 1949.
Whoa.
Wow, Don, bless your heart.
Thank you, Don. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. If you've already contributed, thank you. Taking a look at your pet's behavior, your dog's behavior today with our guest, George Malera, professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a couple of emails here. Alex in Arena called, couldn't stay with us. He's wondering if there are dogs that can sniff out mushrooms. What do you think, George?
So in many regions in France, they use pigs to sniff out truffles, mostly truffles, because those are the delicious, expensive ones. And there's different truffle regions here in the States, and more people are training dogs to seek out truffles. But you can absolutely do something like a scent detection class. If you just type in, scent detection training, I'm sure you'll pull up a ton of videos and start teaching your dog how to discriminate for specific mushrooms. You'd probably have to have your hands on one. But, yes, absolutely. More and more dogs are learning how to sniff out mushrooms and truffles. And that's the thing, Larry, is that you're only limited by your imagination. I had the pleasure of working with a client in New York, and we became dear friends. And his dog, Prophet, we just sort of had this ongoing, monthly, twice-a-month session. and he wanted to train his dog how to sniff stuff out and do a little bit of tracking. So we ended up teaching Prophet how to sniff out his wallet and his keys, because his wife said he always lost his wallet and keys. So we trained Prophet how to do that. Fast forward, after I moved here to Wisconsin, one of my colleagues in New York contacted me, says, hey, do you have anybody that you know that's a good, you know, scent detection dog? I go, I might just have the right dog for you. So Prophet was employed by the city of New York to work on it was called the Gotham Coyote Project, and Prophet's job was to sniff out coyote scat, coyote poop, to find out what coyotes were eating in urban areas. And I was very proud of my boy.
Well, that is cool. Here's another one. Rolf and Hayward sent us an email and wonders how much of what you're talking about today can be applied to training kitties, cats, felines.
You know, that is not my area of expertise, but, you know, cats, I don't know what their sense of smell is. The one thing I will say about cats versus dogs is that dogs have an amazing sense of smell, right? That's the whole topic today. But, and they have less of a good sense of taste, where cats have a very good sense of taste and less of a sense of smell. So I don't know if it would be logical to think that a cat could sniff out what a dog could just because of their capabilities. A lot of times you hear about dogs that like to venture into the litter box for a crunchy little treat. And, you know, that can sometimes be because it tastes just as good coming out as it does going in. So when we talk about cats, and that's why some of the cat food's called finicky, right? It's cats have a very, very eclectic taste palate, and they tend to like more rich, smellier foods.
Yeah, and they also like greenies. My cat Tiger loves greenies and will do anything for greenies. You could train Tiger to do, or your cat to do a lot of neat tricks. If you get them on greenies. Plus, greenies help their teeth. It cleans their teeth so that they have.
It sure does.
Tiger has really clean teeth, and he'll do pretty much anything for it. Paula emailed that they recently rescued a 7-year-old Shih Tzu, who is deaf, mostly blind, but has a keen sense of smell, well-behaved, but he's wondering what he can do to enrich the dog's life. He loves long walks, but are there fun activities we can do with him in the house?
Yeah, you can actually work on tricks like, and I would utilize, well, let's talk about his ability to be in the home safely. One thing I like to do for dogs that are blind and or deaf is to have with like a strong lemon cleanser, like Pledge or something, I'll wipe it onto any of the legs of chairs and areas where they can sniff. And then they'll say, oh, that's where the legs are. Stay away from that area so they don't bonk themselves. The other part is when I'll utilize something like a hot dog and or something super smelly and yummy to have the dog have a trail to follow within the home. So I'm quite literally using the hot dog as a marker, so the dog has a path to follow in the home so they can navigate the home a little bit easier. This works well on steps where you can put it along the wall so they can sniff up the stairs and just sort of around the house. Now, when it comes to enriching his life, you can actually, you know, this hopefully spring is here now, but you can let your grass grow a little bit longer in an area of your yard and sprinkle his kibble there, where he has to go back and forth like a little truffle pig and find all his little morsels and vittles while he's in the grass. It's using your lawn as a type of snuffle mat or a way for them to forage for their food is a wonderful way to enrich his life.
That's a great idea. Lisa emailed, they got an Australian Shepherd Border Collie mix puppy last May, and she's really sweet, except she seems to fall back on biting when she's too excited or anxious. She's taken to jumping up and biting us while walking from the house to the car, for example, making it hard to get from point A to point B. She's almost a year old, tries to hold her mouth closed with her hand when she bites, and says no biting to her, but often she can dodge that. Any ideas?
Yeah, you know, with these young, and those are like you just combine the two most intelligent breeds of dogs. These dogs are lacking enrichment and general learning. It's almost like having a supercomputer. You know, you want to upload software and as much of it as possible. These dogs are in a constant hunger for learning, and they do really well when they're stimulated in that capacity. I would definitely work with a trainer that uses shaping versus luring or clicker training so that the dog is part of the learning process and they have to problem solve more. Again, stuffing their Kongs, I would not feed that dog out of a food bowl, and I would focus more on, again, that arousal training and teaching what is yes versus teaching what is no. With dogs, when you're outside, one of the things I like to have on my leash is, especially for dogs that bite and jump either the leash and or people, is a carabiner or a climbing clip, and make sure that it's a proper climbing clip. This way, if you're walking and she starts to jump and bite, you can clip her to a mailbox or a tree or a sign or clip her to something and then step away for a moment, almost having a portable timeout wherever you go. It'll be a good way to tell her that when she does jump and bite and use her mouth, that we're not going to engage her, we're not going to be near her. And when she is walking politely and nicely, I would deliver a nice steady stream of treats and telling her that what she's doing is good and correct.
Good advice. George Malera, our guest today, and Jill Nadeau is a second contributor to the show today during our spring member drive. And she's with me right now. We're here to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy. So I hope you will support us in this effort. Your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and it's in effect right now. It's from current members, including a member in Baldwin. So basically, if you give $50, it'll turn into $100, or $100 will turn into $200. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
George Malera has been a very popular guest on our program. Many, many people call when he's on with questions about their pets. And very beneficial to many people. And think about yourself. How's your life enriched by maybe this program or one of the other programs you heard from 11 to 1230? How's it unique to public radio? We are listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org, or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And keep your beverage cool with your hands dry with a WPR Cozy. This orange can cooler features a dark red sunshine and pine tree design with a shout out to your number one Wisconsin radio station. Wonder who that could be, Larry? Ask for yours now with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. Go to WPR.org, click donate, or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Absolutely. And don't forget, we have a dollar for dollar match up to $4,000 in effect right now. And there's a lot of it left. And we need at least 22 more callers at this point, too. Oh, I'm just heard we need 17. Okay, we're doing it. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Baldwin, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You certainly have made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I hope you'll now make the decision to support us financially.
Yes, member contributions power the programs you rely on, like this one. So your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports your future listening.
And that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We have a ways to go, and you can help us do it right now as we come up to the top of the hour. George Malera will be with us after our break, but take the time right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your support of WPR go twice as far. Your gift right now is so important. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Taking a look at your dog's behavior on the program today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, George Malera, a professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. He's trained dogs for over 20 years, been a pet behavior counselor for all that whole time. So, questions about your dog's behavior? Join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Gillian from Madison has a comment, I believe. So let's go there. Gillian, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. When the question was asked about if dogs were ever used to sniff out mushrooms and things, and the guest talked about in France, they use pigs. But Italy has a long tradition of using the dog that is called, and I don't have the pronunciation perfect, but Lagotto Romagnolo. And it's a type of a water dog that they have been using them for years and years and years to hunt truffles. They're kind of a curly-haired dog and real nice and real obedient. So I just wanted to say that there is a country that uses this dog. Apparently, they're the only, I just looked this up, pedigree breed that is exclusively the only pedigree breed used to hunt truffles. Some truffle hunters might use other kinds of dogs, but they're the dog of choice.
Gillian, thanks so much. Comment,
thank
George.
Thank you so much, Gillian. I actually, like, the name escaped me. I couldn't remember the breed, the Romagnolo Campagnolo. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that. That's very, very cool. And, you know, I wonder if you could train him to sniff out morel mushrooms. It's the season, you know.
I bet you could.
I would love to have a dog that could find morel mushrooms.
Those are yummy.
Veronica emailed, she just adopted a 3-year-old shepherd mix rescue. He was in the shelter for almost 6 months, having some problems with him, getting him to do his business outside and not on our dining room rug. Any suggestions?
Yes. So my top three suggestions when house training a dog, number one is don't inadvertently punish the dog when they're finished eliminating. What happens a lot of times is the dog eliminates and we're on a timetable. So the dog eliminates and then we go inside and the dog's like, hey, wait a second, it's nice out. So by bringing them in, you could be punishing them. So what they'll start to do is hold it longer and longer when they're outside. So that would be number one. Number two would be don't inadvertently interrupt the dog when they're eliminating. So many times when the dog starts to eliminate, in either capacity, the people get very excited, like, yay, good boy. They praise the dog, and the dog stops peeing and pooping, and they come over and receive their reward. Meanwhile, they sort of think to themselves, like, is it okay if I finish up inside? Because they never got to do a full expression of their faculties. So we want to make sure that we hold our applause until they're finished peeing or pooping, and then lay it on thick. And I mean, using some super high value treats, even human food, chicken, cheese, turkey, roast beef, hot dogs, to really send the message home that the dog's pee and poop is like poker chips. You don't get to cash in the house. You have to cash in outside.
Very good advice. Judy in Eau Claire has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Judy.
Hello. I'm calling about my lab, my wonderful dog that likes and enjoys barking. And some people have suggested that I get a bark collar. And I have just felt very uncomfortable about doing that. So I wondered what your opinion is of bark collars.
Well, let me first thank you for calling, and I appreciate your gut feeling. You don't need a bark collar. What we need is understanding. And the first thing I'll ask you, when people ask me about dog barking, the first thing I'll ask you, imagine if you were my director in a play, okay? And you say, George, I need you to cry for me. And I say, well, what's my motivation? Did I lose a loved one or a dog, or did I stub my toe, or am I crying tears of joy? So the first thing to do is ask yourself, what is your dog's motivation for barking? Is it perimeter breach barking? Do they see things out the window? Do they hear a noise? Or are they barking out of excitement when you get home? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, she really enjoys barking. She barks at squirrels. She barks at birds. She barks at people walking by. She barks when she sees people she hopes will come in to our yard and play with her. She's a happy barker, and then sometimes she just gets annoyed at, like, birds and squirrels, that kind of thing. And she sometimes at night when I let her out, she'll just bark at the moon, I guess. I don't know.
My goodness. So she likes to sing you the songs of her people.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'll tell you, just to touch on a couple of these, when you talk about perimeter breach barking, the one thing I'll say is, what's happening in 3 hours of the day? So if she has access to the living room where the couch is and she can look out the picture window, she's rehearsing the behavior. Now, if you look at it from your pup's point of view, every time here comes the Amazon guy, he gets out of the truck, walks up, puts the package down, and then, he walks back to his truck. All the while, your dog is barking at him. And when he finally drives off, she says, and stay out, right? So how many different things has she protected you from or alerted to? And for her, that's as good as a cookie, making the thing go away. So managing her environment would be really helpful so she doesn't rehearse the behavior of barking at things and making them go away. The other type of barking is, so if she just gets overly excited, she has a tendency to bark. And that's where I would also just take her by the collar and walk her into another room. Setting yourself up for success, too, and teaching her alternative behaviors. So having her have a solid sit when people come over, having her have a solid down, and also having the people interact in a way that's going to be like by giving her treats for sitting and lying down so that she knows what behaviors to offer and when. Because we can punish a behavior all day, but the only way to build a true behavior is to reinforce. So it's not about teaching what is no, it's about teaching what is yes, and heavily rewarding and creating value in what is yes.
Judy, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Brian in Rio, it's your turn. Hi, Brian.
Are you still there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have a German Shepherd. He's about 2.5, 3 years old, and he barks at, or he'll go after every female or a small dog. And I was wondering if it'd be, he also has a barking problem. Would it be better to have him neutered?
Really, an old wives' tale. I've worked with many neutered dogs that have you know, trained up beautifully without having, having an unneutered dog or an intact female is more of a responsibility for the dog owner. Now, he's 2.5 years old. He's a German Shepherd. So, again, physically he looks like an adult dog, but mentally he's still somewhat younger. So what you're dealing with here is, like, if he does smell a female in heat or if he does smell a female in general, he's just getting aroused. Now, does he become aggressive towards dogs, or is he playful?
Yeah, he's aggressive. And in fact, if someone has even got a small dog, like a poodle or whatever, then he'll go after that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating kind of quite a problem with the neighbor.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, so something like this, I'd have to take a little bit more of a better history and talk to you off air. If somebody could just forward you my number at the studio there, I'd be happy to chat with you for a little bit later today.
Yeah, it sounds like you need a more in-depth look there, Brian. And if you can talk to George about that, and George might wind up telling you to get a trainer in your area to work with you on it too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just with something like this, when we're getting into a little bit of aggression, I'd have a bunch more questions. But for now, just making sure that your equipment is safe. Make sure you have like a good solid leash, a good collar, so that he can't get away from you. And then again, just like the previous caller, managing your dog's environment so he doesn't have access to barking at windows and making things go away, because that's equivalent to him getting fed for it.
So hang on there, and we'll get maybe we already have the number, but we'll get that your number to George, and we'll see what we can do. Thank you for calling. Heather emailed us. Heather's dog was having some stomach problems. They had to put her on chicken and rice for a few days. And now they can't get her to eat anything else. Help!
So that sometimes happens where, Larry, imagine if I was sitting across the table from you and I was giving you dollar bills, and then I switch up to $5 bills, and then $10 bills, and then I started giving you nickels.
I wouldn't like
you'd be
that.
Like, no. Other direction, George. Other direction. So What you can do in these cases is just slowly introduce the kibble and wean off the chicken and rice. So you with some really nice hot water, you add hot water to her normal kibble to make like sort of a mush, and then you add that to the chicken and rice. And little by little, you start tapering off the chicken and rice. And you could even soak her kibble in chicken broth and do like a mixture of like 75% chicken broth, 25% water. And then slowly change it to 50-50 until you're just doing a little bit of water in the kibble, and then you sort of transitioned her. Now, if she finishes, just like grandma's law, you can't have dessert until you've eaten your vegetables. If she completes her dinner of kibble, then you can offer her some chicken and rice.
Oh.
Just as a little treat.
Ah, nice idea. I like that idea. Let's take another call. Diane in Iron County will go to you next. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Our dog came out of a rescue, and he occasionally growls at my husband, and it's usually at night. He also sometimes growls at people when he's in the car, but he's extremely friendly, and he seems like he loves people when we're out on a walk and he greets people. I think he's claiming me in the car is what I'm wondering.
What do you think, George?
What's your husband's relationship with your pup? I mean, does he like walk him? Does he feed him? Does he give him treats? Does he play with him?
He gives him treats all the time, and I make him feed him, and he'll play tug of war and stuff, and he's all happy about that. But then it's usually at night, so we call it sunsetter. He can be very grumpy, and he doesn't want my husband petting him, even if he jumps up and lays next to him.
Gotcha. So, well, two things is, you know, in these cases where there's any sort of grumbling around a location, that dogs can guard a location or a space. And it can also happen, like, if you go up to bed before your husband and then your dog joins you in bed and then your husband comes to bed. Those are moments where you sort of see this behavior. So number one would be taking away that privilege from your dog so he doesn't get to be in bed with you or on the couch when your husband is there. The other game I would have your husband play is called the gotcha game, where you sort of say, what's your dog's name?
Zeke.
So you say, gotcha ear, and your husband would grab his ear and then give him a little piece of, you know, a little bit of treat. And then he would practice stroking his back and then giving him a treat. And then you could also have your husband practice this on the couch so that over time, Zeke becomes a little bit desensitized to your husband touching him within these hours. And like you said, if it's only happening during these specific hours, that's interesting in its own right in respects to why doesn't he do it at other times of the day? Is it because Zeke has a very busy schedule? Is he extra tired? So I would look into like how much rest he's getting and also making sure that your husband is doing a lot of that relationship building stuff. I love that he was playing tug and giving him treats and feeding him and to keep that up. But also adding having your husband touch Zeke and giving him treats would be very, very helpful as well.
Thank you very much, Diane, for calling. Appreciate it. George Malera, our guest today. George, professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. He's trained dogs a long time, and I've got some great advice about working with your dog. And I've got some great advice for you, too. I think you should support our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. Jill Nadeau agrees with me as she's nodding vociferously here. Yes, yes.
Oh, big word.
She and I are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Larry Mueller Show. So I hope you'll support the program. Support from people like you. It's the largest piece of funding for the shows you enjoy. And that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
Absolutely. And we've heard from five donors already. Thank you all so much for giving. Our goal is 30 gifts by 1 o'clock. And so we've got 25 to go. But this goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
So let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. And let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And some of our regular guests, like Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne Brody, they help you with your aches and pains. We got Scott Craven, who's happy to help you figure out why that woodpecker is, you know, hitting on your garage. And we've got Steve and John, the weather guys. And we've got our women from the Consumer Protection. Of course, we've got George also, who come in on a regular basis. So many experts.
They cover topics that are part of your everyday life. They give you advice and ideas. And because you've come to trust and appreciate these gifts, I hope you'll support the program with your dollars. Easy to give. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And today you ask for that WPR cozy with a donation of any amount. This form beverage sleeve will keep your favorite drinks cold and your WPR pride on full display, available today only. Ask for yours now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get access to the whole world. That really makes a difference in your life. You get the news and information you need to stay informed and conversations that make you think, along with some great music and entertainment that help you relax.
Absolutely. And no matter where you are, when you listen to WPR, you're a global citizen. You're hearing from artists, reporters, and experts. Because you appreciate this connection to the wider world, make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We live in a generous society. We're quick to help a neighbor or co-worker who's in need. We chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you've never given to WPR before, why don't you step up and give right now? Because when you do, you'll be funding the programs that you and so many others benefit from every day. And many first-time donors, they give $100 or maybe $10 a month. The amount is totally up to you. The important thing is that you make your first ever gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're busy. It can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos, but no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
And let me repeat that. You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, it's still the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. Gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It is, and it's an easy thing to do. Probably the easiest thing you'll do all day. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. Just say $10 a month.
All right, that donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. That is, wouldn't it be nice if we could do that with all of our bills?
Yes, it would indeed.
It would. So maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Yeah, that might be what you spend for takeout or entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then just make your gift at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
We always ask you to give the amount that's right for you, and it's a helpful formula to use. Look at it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad to hear, and if you paid a dime for each of those, that would work out to $10 a month. And if that math adds up for you, then make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now's a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to do. You can set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Lauren Stoughton says she's happy to be back in Wisconsin listening to WPR after living in another state for 12 years. Jeff in Green Bay says, WPR gets me through the work days. Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now. Thank you very much.